From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Jeannie Yandel. Most of us adjust the way we speak for the person or people we're speaking to. It could be as subtle as speaking a little more slowly and happily when talking to a small child, or it could be as obvious as switching to another language entirely. There's a term for this. It's called code switching. And we want to know when you first recognized you were code switching, when you do it, and why. Give us a call at 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. You can also email us with your stories and thoughts at conversation@kuow.org. We heard from listeners earlier today on how they code switch and why. Here's what they had to say.
When I call my family back home in Tennessee, I talk like this, because if I don't, they have a really hard time understanding what I'm saying. But when I live here in Seattle the rest of the time, I talk like this, because that's the way people understand me.
I am of mixed race, half black and half white, and I find myself doing that code switch if I'm amongst a whole bunch of black folk or mixed folk, or if I'm amongst a bunch of folks of other races. I find myself slipping a little bit into that, I don't know why. I guess it's just that it makes me feel like I'm comfortable there, and I know I can do that part of myself more, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean, sister?
Those are a couple of examples of code switching right there. Maybe it's adopting an accent, like a Southern accent if you're from the South. Maybe it's using slang, depending on who you're talking with. We want to hear your examples of code switching. How do you do it? When do you do it? And why do you do it? You can call us at 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. You can also email us at conversation@kuow.org with your stories about code switching. Charlie is listening to us in Seattle right now. Charlie, I understand that you started code switching when you were just a little kid. What led you to do that?
Can you hear me? I didn't hear a click or anything.
Yes, I can totally hear you. So, thanks for calling in and joining us. I understand that you started code switching when you were pretty small, when you were just a kid. Is that right?
I had both of my parents were pretty abusive and often without any discernible reason. So I had to learn from a very young age how to gauge what kind of response I was going to get from them from anything that I did. I had to basically learn how to read what was behind their words, what mood they were in, et cetera, basically just for self-defense, so that I didn't step into a situation by saying the wrong thing. So I had to learn very quickly how to communicate to both of my parents, who were two very different people, in a way that they wanted to be communicated with, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. When did you realize that that's something that you were doing?
Well, it became a kind of a skill in manipulating people, which I realized actually also pretty early on in grade school. I was kind of often a bully victim too. I was a gay kid. I knew I was gay when I was 4. I just didn't know what it was called till the first time I got bullied about it when I was 11. But so that was another reason that I had to learn different ways of communicating with different people. But I often, for protection in grade school, would kind of ingratiate myself with the teacher and become kind of a teacher's pet.
Can you give an example of how you would do that?
Well, I was always the kid that tested really high. I was always kind of the smart kid in class. And so I would speak very differently to teachers from how I would speak to peers, to kids. I would speak to the teachers like an adult. And I would speak to peers in a different way to try to fit in as opposed to try to, I mean, I wouldn't try to impress kids, but I would try to impress teachers with the way that I spoke and things like that. So, I started writing at a very early age because I feel that through the need that arose through dealing with my parents, the skills that I developed in that way became skills of communication. I became very good at explaining things. I was often the one in class who if a student was not understanding what a teacher was saying, I could usually figure out what the disconnect was, what the teacher thought they were communicating and what the kid was hearing. And I would often step in and say, no, this is what the teacher means. Or,
so how do you think that affects the way that you communicate today, Charlie?
Well, I try to use my powers for good rather than evil. I try to remain aware. I do sometimes become manipulative. My friends tell me that I'm a very good BSer. But it makes me good at, I think it's made me good at explaining things. I used to do fundraising for an environmental group, and I quit because it became clear to me after a while that I was talking people into giving me money that they really didn't want to give me. It bothered me cumulatively after a while, and I couldn't do it anymore.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about how you code switch. We're talking about how you code switch and why. We'd love to hear your stories of when you realized you first started adjusting how you speak for different listeners, when you do it, and why you do it. We're at 206-543-5869. We're also at 1-800-289-5869 and conversation at kuow.org. Patty's listening to us in Bothell. Patty, how do you code switch?
Hi. I actually am a sign language interpreter. And I code switch between languages. If I'm with a bunch of hearing people and deaf people, I find myself signing and speaking at the same time to include everybody in the conversation. So it's like we have two modalities going on at the same time. It can be really interesting and kind of hard to think, but it's fun.
Has there ever been an instance where in trying to do that in the same conversation, you've gotten tripped up or things didn't go as smoothly as you would have liked?
Yes, actually. It's interesting because sign language, American Sign Language, is a completely foreign language, and they use different grammar structure and syntax and vocabulary. And if you're trying to do two at the same time, like, things are going to be lost in translation, and sometimes I'll realize I didn't say or sign at all what I thought I was. So, yeah, your brain can get confused.
Well, Patty, thank you very much for that phone call and that example. We're talking about code switching, how you adjust how you speak depending on who you're speaking to. There are examples of this all over the place. You might hear President Obama on occasion drop his G's, so say thinkin' or runnin' instead of thinking or running. That's an example, people say, of him trying to sound more folksy. It's an example of code switching. And we're asking how you do that as well. You can call 206-543-5869 with your stories about code switching. We've also got an example from Kamna Shastri, who works with Radioactive. That's KUOW's youth program. This May, Kamna's cousin Anyanka Shankar came to visit here in Seattle, and Anyanka grew up in Chennai, which is a city in the southernmost Indian state of Tamil Nadu. It's her first time visiting the United States, and both Anunya and Kamna Shastri speak in their mother tongue of Tamil, but Anunya always speaks to her cousin in English, and so Kamna did a piece exploring why that happens.
It started on the ferry from Bremerton to Seattle.
I've never gone on a ferry before, and when you're in the middle of the water and you can feel the breeze, and it's really nice.
Ananya was eager to reflect on something she'd never seen before. She'd never seen such bright lights against a darkening blue sky.
In India, normally, we have a power problem, so when you see India from top at night, it just looks black. So for the first ever time, I actually saw a city right in front of my eyes filled with light, and I found that really beautiful.
Wait, so the electricity goes away at night?
We all sleep, so there's no useful use for having light or something. That's what the government thinks. The government normally switches off all the lights, so it's like pitch dark.
That's our grandmother. We call her Patti.
But you mean like from far away it won't look like
yeah.
It did here?
Okay. Ananya speaks to our grandmother in Tamil, even though our grandma can speak English too. But when she turns to me, she talks to me in English, even though I can speak Tamil. And because I've noticed this so much, I thought I'd ask her.
Why is it that whenever you talk to Patti, you talk to her in Tamil? But then if you talk to me, you don't. You go to English. Even if I talk to you in Tamil, you talk in English.
You know, I kind of talk to Patti in Tamil because I'm very much used to it. because even at home, every time she starts a conversation in Tamil, I end up replying in Tamil only. But you have always kind of remembered you growing up in the US, and so invariably, whatever I think, I end up talking to you in English. Even if you talk in Tamil, I can't acknowledge it and talk back in Tamil because I'm just not used to that at all.
Me, Michael Pesache, you put on your American accent. When I talk to you, I put on my slight Indian accent. So
because you kind of adjust to how the people are like around you, right?
I think our change in accents and language is our way of covering the cultural distance between us.
Party.
For Radioactive, I'm Kamna Shastri.
And I can also change my accent into a very funny Indian-y accent, like, what do you want to do now? Like that.
Kamna Shastri reported that story as part of Radioactive, which is KUOW's program for youth. You can learn more at kuow.org/radioactive. And that's how Kamna and her cousin code switch. How about you? Do you speak different languages depending on who you're speaking with? How do you speak differently to different people? We're talking about code switching today, and we want to hear your stories. 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. You can also email us with your stories at conversation@kuow.org. Ilsa is listening to us in Fremont. Ilsa, so how do you code switch?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that last example where she was talking about bridging the cultural differences between people. And I'm a white woman, and I'm an activist who's been working for racial justice. I have a business called Cultures Connecting. And one of the ways that I have to be conscious of code switching is in a way to, in my cross-cultural relationships, in a way that acknowledges the power that I as a white person bring into those relationships, and then kind of makes an effort to move more towards the patterns and the cadences of the people of color that I'm working with. But also, the tricky thing about it is that it's a conscious, like in the other example, especially I think for people of color, when they're code switching, it's something that they learn to do from a very early age to adapt to the dominant culture because they have to. It's a survival skill. And so for me, it's more conscious. And I always have that message in my head playing too of, well, don't try to act black to try to, like, you know, show that I'm down with the cause or something like that. And so there's kind of this delicate balance that that I try to negotiate in my cross-cultural relationships.
Can you think of an example of how you do that? You did a really great job of describing the balancing act, but is there an example of how?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I really do in, I worked on the Seattle Race Conference planning team for many years, and one of the things that I really did was try to be conscious of the amount of airtime that I took up, saying what needed to be said rather than all that could be said, as my business partner, Caprice Hollins, would say. And so that's one of the things, is that I think that white folks tend to take up more room sometimes in a conversation than we're even aware of. And so that's something. And then I noticed just in my casual conversations with my business partner, who is African-American, that sometimes she usually code switches, and she does it naturally. I'll kind of unconsciously sometimes slip into a vernacular that's more similar to the way that she speaks. And then I'm checking myself going, oh, okay, is this okay? Is this just a friendly relationship? Or am I trying to appropriate her culture in some way?
Has there ever been a situation where you have been unsuccessful at striking that balance you're talking about?
Yeah, I've had I leave workshops, and I've actually had African American people come up to me during a workshop, or even say in front of the whole room, you know, it sounds like you're trying to sound black when you're saying that. And so I have to be really conscious of that, because again, in a personal relationship with somebody, we're kind of meeting in the middle. But when I'm presenting with a group, it's different. And yeah, you know, and I think that there's a level of conscious incompetence that I have sometimes, where I fall into my old learned patterns of behavior around being told that I'm a good leader. And what I've always been told is being a good leader means taking up a lot of space, telling other people what to do, you know, checking in on everybody else. And so I really have to work hard to let go of that desire to control outcomes, which is really counterproductive in cross-racial groups for a white person to be doing that. And I'm not always terribly successful at that.
Well, Ilsa, I'm curious to know, you've talked a lot about having to do this in your professional life. What about in your personal life?
you know, I think it comes out in my personal life. Again, I think it's just more of a casual relational type thing where, you know, where I am interacting with somebody, and I can't think of a really specific example right now. But again, it's more like I do tend to just kind of fall into it, like, more casually than I do in my professional life. But well, there's a lot of overlap there, too.
Yeah. Well, Ilse, thank you very much for your call. We just talked with Ilse, who talked about having to code switch as part of her professional life. We'd like to know how you code switch, how you adjust the way you speak, depending on who you're speaking with. Give us a call at 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. Dave is listening to us in Lakewood. Dave, how do you code switch?
Well, I tell you, code switching for me in the military is such a survival skill that if you don't do it, you could wind yourself up in some pretty big trouble.
Okay, well, you have to give an example of that. You just raised the stakes pretty high.
Yes. Well, the stakes are pretty high. An example would be if we had a group of soldiers and we were out on a run. If it was a group of male soldiers, you might say, "All right, come on, baby, get up the hill. Come on, while trying to encourage a soldier. And while you mean it in a very encouraging way, if you were in a mixed with male and female soldiers, that could be taken out of context, and you could actually be held on some kind of sexual harassment type of issue. And as you know today, it's in the news really big. So me and my fellow male soldiers are we've become Zen masters at code switching when we're talking to different groups of soldiers.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for that example. We're asking about code switching and how you do it. We're at 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. Dave just told us that in the military, you have to code switch or the consequences could be really dire. Mario is listening to us in the University District. Mario, how do you code switch?
Hi there, Jeannie. You know, I do code switch. I have code switched my whole life, but I feel that there comes a certain point in one's life where there's almost like a code mastery that occurs. Not that mastery really is realistic in a lot of terms for us as humans, but nonetheless, it really is for me part of the development of my own unique voice. And I realize that as I grow older and older, the way I speak to a four-year-old girl or a professor, for example, back in college, or coworkers, they start meshing more and more with one another because you realize how to speak effectively and with grace in much more of a sort of collective way, just to speak about it a little bit more in a macroscopic, chronological way.
Can you give a specific example of what you mean?
Sure. I will try. I guess what I'm saying is I just do remember throughout adolescence, through all of the debates with my parents and through all of the confrontations anybody experiences throughout school, you really do find yourself switching sort of personas to deal with problems. And an example would be, as I started growing older, I would find myself explaining things to my four-year-old cousin very much in the same manner, you know, that I would explain something to my mother. I guess the only thing that would change is, I guess, the speed at which I'm explaining it and maybe some of the words I'm using. But I really do think that code switching is a skill that does go into, you know, one's very gradual metamorphosis into sort of being able to talk rather the same way with everybody, yet talk very, very differently depending on the context. I guess other things start becoming more effective towards making your point, other than just really, really switching how you talk to people. And I found Dave's last comments about it very interesting, because that is really a situation where you can take the code switching approach and have these very stark differences in how you speak. And I suppose if you try very hard, you can imagine it my way, you know, just in the sense I'm explaining this, in more of a case where both situations could be encompassed within one way of speaking, where there wouldn't be the sexual discrimination possibility when with the females within the crowd, because there is all of a sudden more of a personal way to say what you're trying to say, such that it's not so bad in some situations.
Okay, well, Mario, thank you for that phone call. We're talking about code switching, and you can give us a call at 206-543-5869. Sarah is listening to us in the Central District. Sarah, you're calling to talk about how people code switch with you, right?
Yes.
So how do they do that?
Well, I'm a female transsexual, but I'm actually, I identify as a dyke. And depending on whether somebody views me as male or female, I can tell that they're code switching. If I'm perceived as a male, people interact with me as if I'm a gay male, and typically women. And they'll kind of tip their wrist towards me and talk with a lisp. Whereas with men, if they perceive me, when they perceive me as a female versus a male, they talk much softer at me.
Well, Sarah, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we're actually out of time. But those are great examples of how of what it's like to have someone code switch with you, whether or not that's something you actually want. We've been talking about code switching. Thank you all for your wonderful phone calls and your emails. You can continue this conversation at KUOW's The Conversation with Ross Reynolds. That's our Facebook page. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Jeannie Yandel.